Hello and welcome to Fine Print, to the double scrutiny of this story and its coverage with me, Amir Arafat. But first, as always, a quick check of the big print. The big print goes. Former Prime Minister Sharif returns from exile to Pakistan. Raise a crowd with Sharif back in Pakistan. Ex-Pakistan leader returns to heroes' welcome. Sharif's return increases Pakistan's political options. Sharif joins Pakistan's election battlefield. Pakistan rivals enter poll fray. Sharif sends defiant message to Musharraf. And Musharraf set to step down from army. To help us track the fine print, we're joined all the way live from London by Wajid Shamsul Hassan, former Pakistani High Commissioner in Britain. From New York by Asami Ibrahim, from New York, correspondent for Pakistani TV station GeoTV. And from New York again by Masood Haydar, a distinguished UN correspondent for the DD Dawn of Pakistan, the past president of the United Nations Correspondents Association. By the phone from Lahore in Pakistan by Farzana Fayaz, a freelance British journalist based in Lahore, Pakistan. But first, let's go straight to Reuters with an article titled, Sharif Makes It Back to Pakistan, Second Time Lucky, Sunday, November 25th, 2007. For our viewers to get a grasp of what's happening on the ground in Pakistan, let's read this snippet here. Former Pakistan Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif made a successful comeback from exile on Sunday in his second attempt this year, ousted by President Pervez Musharraf in a bloodless military coup in 1999 and exiled to Saudi Arabia. A year later, Sharif tried to return home in September, but was dispatched back to Jeddah within hours. Musharraf reluctantly agreed to allow Sharif back this time under pressure from Saudi King Abdullah, who was embarrassed by the kingdom's complicity in the exile of a Muslim leader. Diplomats say it is hard to imagine Musharraf would let his old enemy become prime minister for a third time after polls and open due on January 8th, even, and let me just zoom out a bit here, even if his party confounds expectations of an unfair vote to emerge a real force in the next parliament. Musharraf's already sagging popularity tanked after he imposed an emergency rule on November the 3rd, suspended the Constitution, purged the Supreme Court judges, detained thousands of opponents, and slapped sweeping curbs on media. Let's go straight to Lahore, where we're joined by Farzana Fayaz, a freelance British journalist based in Lahore, the political heart of Pakistan. Farzana, welcome to the show. First, why is it they call Lahore the political heart of Pakistan?
Well, it's often said that whoever wins Punjab during the elections wins the election, so that's probably why. Nawaz Sharif is very popular here in Punjab province, and Benazir Bhutto still has some influence here as well, so it's a very important province and very important to the upcoming elections.
So let's have your comments on the comeback of Musharraf's arch-rival Nawaz Sharif.
He's, as you mentioned earlier, this is his second attempt at coming back to Pakistan after exile in Saudi Arabia. He was he attempted to come back in September, what was promptly removed and sent back to Saudi Arabia. This was one of Musharraf's plots, I think, one of his ploys to try and control the political situation. Since then, a lot of things have happened in Pakistan. As you know, the state of emergency was declared, which elicited a lot of negative response from the world community as well as protesters in Pakistan. So I think it wasn't originally Musharraf's intention to allow Nawaz Sharif back, but I think with some pressure from the international community, especially the US, and also some subtle intervention by the Saudis, that this was allowed to happen, and to happen it did.
Let's go to another article from Reuters again, this time titled, "Three's a Crowd with Sharif Back in Pakistan." The article opens this way. It says, "There was a time when Pakistan wasn't big enough for three of them. Nawaz Sharif came back on Sunday. Benazir Bhutto came back last month. And in between, President Pervez Musharraf declared emergency rule, triggering an avalanche of criticism at home and from Western allies." Let's go to New York to Masood Haidar, distinguished UN correspondent for the Daily Dawn of Pakistan. Masood.
Hello.
Hello, I have you loud and clear. Do you happen to have my voice here, Masood?
I can hear you now, but earlier
All right.
you disappeared.
Yeah. All right, the script comes from a Reuters article saying there's a crowd, three's a crowd with Sharif back in Pakistan, and says Bhutto is on the stage, Sharif is on the stage, and of course Musharraf. How do you see it all play out? All arch nemesis, if you will, are on the stage.
Yeah. Well, obviously the reason why Reuters is saying that, there was a time when Mr. Musharraf took over in 1999 when he overthrew Mr. Sharif in a bloodless coup, were charging that Sharif was trying to kill him and not allowing his plane to land from Sri Lanka. Then at that time, Mr. Musharraf and all his party leaders and everybody else went around saying that they will not allow either Sharif or Bhutto back to Pakistan to exploit the people of Pakistan. And they were charged. Mr. Sharif and Ms. Bhutto were both being charged with corruption. And it was being said over and over again that under no circumstances will they be allowed back. But now then, as things happened after his confrontation with the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, slowly and slowly under the American pressure and now under the Saudi pressure, he has decided to allow both Ms. Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif back in power, two of the people whom he never thought would be coming back while he's there. So it is, politics does make strange bedfellows.
All right, another snippet of this article that says General Musharraf has spent most of the 8 years of Nawaz being in exile. Of course, it says Nawaz Sharif came back on Sunday. Benazir Bhutto came back last month. And in between, President Musharraf declared emergency rule. And further down, it says General Musharraf has spent most of the 8 years since he seized power in a coup trying to keep former Prime Ministers Bhutto and Sharif out. But his attempt to re-engineer a polity sundered by the 1999 military takeover has ended in defeat. Let's go to London to Wajid Shamsul Hassan. Wajid?
Yes.
Yes, now the three are on the stage. A Thursday, of course, President Pervez Musharraf, this time a civilian president, doffing his military clothes and jumping into his civvies, being sworn in, and a lot of controversies. What the comeback, surprise comeback, if you will, of Nawaz Sharif on the stage. Your comments.
Well, I have not yet seen any surprise conduct on behalf of Mr. Nawaz Sharif as such. He has returned to Pakistan and he has joined the main demands of the political parties, the Pakistan People's Party, for the restoration of democracy, restoration of 1973 constitution, restoration of the judiciary, elections and the independent election commission, and General Musharraf to go. And if once he takes off his civvies, probably he's going to go, hopefully. And that will be the beginning of return of democracy in Pakistan through free and fair elections that should be held within some time. And there's no possibility of any surprises coming about now, because a lot of surprises have so far come. Benazir Bhutto has come back, Nawaz Sharif has come back, the main players are back in the country, and Musharraf is more isolated. His party is in a very bad shape, and a lot of people are running away from the party. Even his ministers are running away. And you can imagine, the person who was his favorite prime minister till yesterday, the party did not even give him ticket.
Now, speaking of no surprises, Mr. Wajid, did you ever expect the comeback made by Nawaz Sharif? There was a lot of talk about Bhutto, Benazir Bhutto, and Musharraf striking some kind of deal after the Abu Dhabi summit, the secret meeting they had, and then all the talk about a kind of secret deal between the two. Now we have this love or hate triangle of the three back in the country. Weren't you actually taken aback?
Well, let me explain it to you. The media described it as a deal. As a matter of fact, we carried on negotiations with General Musharraf for peaceful transition to democracy through free and fair and transparent elections. And that's why we conducted talks with him, and so that we could have free and fair elections, independent election commission, and the other condition that I just narrated. In the same way, Mr. Nawaz Sharif had a different point of view. He wanted to take on him, and he said that he will not accept him as president. But now it seems when he has filed his nomination papers, means that he has accepted him as president, and he is fighting elections under what Musharraf has offered. But again, we have yet to see what they are likely to do, most of the opposition parties. If there is a consensus on boycott, there is a possibility of a boycott of national elections. And all the political parties joining hands except a few Tonga parties who are, you know, one-man party or two-man party.
Now The Guardian, on an article titled, Sharif Rules Out Musharraf Pacts. And further down we have Nawaz Sharif's picture, very angry, showing his teeth. And further down the article says, the former Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif today ruled out a power-sharing deal with the President, General Pervez Musharraf. After his return from exile in Saudi Arabia yesterday, Sharif said, I am not a candidate for prime ministership under Pervez Musharraf. Let's go to Farzana Fiaz in Lahore. Farzana, what do you make of that?
Well, it seems in recent times with all political leaders seeming to make some kind of deal with Musharraf, Bhutto in particular, that this is quite a rash decision. He might be erring on the side of, I guess, erring on the side of what he's seen so far. He's seen that Musharraf's standing has diminished somewhat over the last few weeks and months. So perhaps that's why he's being more bold than he might have been in the past. I mean, certainly Benazir Bhutto has said in very clear terms that he no longer considers would consider any kind of deal with Musharraf. So it could be perhaps he's following her lead. Let's see what happens. I mean, he's still, even though he's filed his papers to become nominated, he's still reserving the right to boycott elections as Benazir Bhutto. So at this point, it's very difficult to predict what might happen, I think.
Masoud Haider, I'd like to have your speculations here on some kind of a deal. Now, we have Nawaz Sharif, we have Benazir Bhutto, yeah, and we have Pervez Musharraf, all interestingly arch rivals and nemesis, if you will. Now, there's this talk of a deal. For quite some time, there has been talk of a deal between Benazir Bhutto and Musharraf. Right now, we have Nawaz Sharif right in the middle, smack dab there. But he's ruling out any kind of a pact with Musharraf. There are reports, as we'll actually get engaged in the details, these reports, that there are talks going on between the opposition, that being Nawaz Sharif and Benazir Bhutto, about some kind of a deal. And of course, also speculations about some kind of a final deal between Benazir Bhutto and Musharraf on the one hand, and on the other hand, on a very, very lighter note, if you will, deals between Nawaz Sharif and Musharraf.
Okay. Let's be very clear about it. Ms. Bhutto nor Mr. Nawaz Sharif want to call it a deal. They want to call it an understanding. Call it what they may, but the thing is, the deal that was being spoken about between Ms. Bhutto and the president was the deal that the cases of corruption against her and her husband, Asad al-Dari, would be thrown out, which I might remind you would never ever went to court and were proved otherwise that they were corrupt. And similarly, in case of Mr. Nawaz Sharif, he had taken a tough stand. No, I want to get rid of Musharraf completely before I go back. He was very angry that he was removed. Now, insofar as Mr. Sharif and his deal, he denies that there was any understanding or deal. But, one is very clear that under no circumstances Mr. Sharif could have come back to Pakistan unless he would have pleaded with the King of Saudi Arabia that there should be some sort of an understanding between Musharraf and him to allow him to go back. And in fact, Musharraf did travel to Saudi Arabia, and the Saudi King did request him to ask to allow Mr. Sharif to come back. And Mr. Sharif did come back. And not only did he come back, he came back with two fully equipped cars, which were formidable for him to travel within Pakistan. So there is that understanding, which they may deny, or because of the reason that of its political implications. So Mr. Sharif is trying to say, no, I didn't have a deal. And Benazir has not said that she didn't. She did not say that there was no deal, but she said there was an understanding. So that's how it's a semantics, no matter how you want to say it. Call it what you may, but there was an understanding, and we will call it understanding, between Nawaz Sharif, the King of Saudi Arabia, who was responsible for his return, and Ms. Benazir Bhutto and Musharraf when she came back. So there is that element of deal or understanding. Now, as to whether Mr. Musharraf is going to stand for prime ministership, I think yes, he will. He will stand in election, and then we will see from there what will happen. And I personally agree with Mr. Shamsul Hassan that perhaps by the time of election comes, Mr. Musharraf would have unraveled completely and gone away.
Speaking of Saudi Arabia's role in here, the article in Guardian says last week Musharraf flew to Saudi Arabia in a failed attempt persuade King Abdullah to keep Sharif in the country until after the Pakistani elections on January the 8th. There were rumors at the time that he could even be planning a power-sharing deal with Sharif, whom he ousted in a coup in 1999. And we have another article this time around from the Wall Street Journal on Saudi Arabia's role. But first, let's go to Wajid Shamsul Hassan and have his take here. How do you see this Saudi role in all of this, with Nawaz Sharif, according to Masoud Haidar, appealing to the Saudi king to support him, according to all reports and all different online editions of different papers. Now we have Musharraf going all the way to Saudi Arabia to ask the Saudi king to let Nawaz Sharif stay in his country in exile and not help him come to Pakistan, to which he heard one big no. And here is twice his life and, the biggest life and twice as perhaps beauty for Lahore people, Nawaz Sharif in Pakistan.
Well, my view is that, number one, we are not privy to what happened between him and Musharraf and the Saudis. The fact of the matter, the Saudi General Musharraf went to Saudi Arabia, talked to the king, and Nawaz Sharif returned to Pakistan. This is a fact of the matter, so this one cannot deny. The only thing that I don't know what happened behind the scene. But remember one thing, that Pakistan People's Party, as well as other political parties, Pakistan People's Party, more on the ground of principle and much vehemently, had been demanding a level playing field since long. Since almost 5 years, we have been demanding that there should be a level playing field, and Mr. Nawaz Sharif and Ms. Benazir Bhutto, both of them should be allowed to participate in elections on equal footing. And we never said that only Benazir Bhutto should be allowed to participate. We always said that the government should provide level playing field to every political party and every political leader. And perhaps that is what has been achieved because of PPP's quite, successful struggle for this sort of acceptance. And perhaps because of the Saudi pressure, things have moved in the right direction. And now both Ms. Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif are in Pakistan, and they can both together contribute for the return of democracy in a positive manner by asserting themselves to seek free and fair elections from a general who doesn't believe in free and fair elections. He believes in rigging. He has an entire setup that he has made is rigging oriented. It is going to bring in it's going to support his ruling party, the former ruling party, in a big way. But I think since elections unleash dynamics of their own, they are probably going to see some very serious setbacks when the elections are actually taking place and all political parties join them and contest them. If elections are rigged, there will be a backlash. and Pakistan then will be moving towards a revolution, people's revolution, which General Musharraf or anybody will not be able to stop in the country.
Now, free and fair happen to be the top word right now, free and fair elections. But the big question is whether or not any elections under the circumstances at this point, emergency situation in Pakistan, happens to be free and fair, Mr. Shams Al-Hassan.
Yes, there has never been any free and fair elections under the emergency, but except the one that is what the General Yahya Khan used to claim. But even that was questioned. But the fact of the matter is, ever since we have had emergencies, we have never had free and fair elections. Elections have always been rigged. 1988 elections, you know, the ISI chief and the army chief at that time, after holding the elections, they accepted and they confessed that they did make this IGI, this was the United Opposition Party, against Benazir Bhutto to stop a landslide in the country. Similarly, in 1990, they did the same thing. And this is a matter of record in the Supreme Court that fundings were provided to almost so many political leaders in the opposition to stop Benazir Bhutto return to power. This has happened every time when she is in the game of politics, whenever she is in the electoral game and whenever she is seeking re-election, this has happened. And again, now things are, you know, moving in the same direction. The ruling party is all set to rig the elections. They have been in power. The local councils are still there, and they are manipulating everything to this day. They have stopped public rallies. They have stopped all political activities, and that really makes electioneering difficult in the country. But howsoever the case, I think elections will unleash dynamics that will change the course of history in Pakistan, and General Musharraf will have to call it today.
All right, thanks to all of our guests for the first half of the show. Don't you go away. We'll be back after a few moments after the headlines. We're back with Fine Print and Nawaz Sharif back in Pakistan after 7 to 8 years of exile in Saudi Arabia. Joining us to find a fine print, we're joined by Wajid Shams Al-Hassan from London, former Pakistani High Commissioner in Britain, and from New York by Sami Ibrahim, New York correspondent for the Pakistani TV station GeoTV. You might join us later in the show. From New York, again, by Masoud Haidar, distinguished UN correspondent for the Daily Dawn of Pakistan, the past president of the United Nations Correspondents Association, by the phone from Lahore, Pakistan, by Farzana Fayaza, freelance British journalist based in Lahore, Pakistan. Now, to our pick for the second half of the show, the Wall Street Journal, an article titled Sharif's Return Increases Pakistan's Political Options, Masoud Haidar in New York. How so?
Basically, what they're saying is that the biggest political option that I think they can talk about is that how quickly will Musharraf leave? Musharraf will be asked to leave the power post of the president of Pakistan. But the thing is that I wanted to add to one earlier conversation that was taking place, that Mr. Shams Al-Hassan, when he was making a point that, yes, Benazir Bhutto could have been responsible for Mr. Sharif's coming back, and she did managed to create such conditions in which Mr. Sharif came back, and that was untenable. I mean, there was no other way for Mr. Musharraf to react but to get that in. Now, at this point in time, the way the power politics is playing, one thing that I'm reminded of, that Mr. Shahbaz Sharif, whom I met over here in New York several times, we said that when we go back, he had talked about an alliance between all political parties in which they were to solemnly swear that they will not resort to going back to the GSU, which is the army headquarters, in order to resolve their differences. And that is one thing that Mr. Sharif and his party have to do. Mr. Sharif's party primarily was responsible for the largesse of the army, in which IJI was supported by the ISI. Lieutenant General Hamid Gul conceded that much. But seeing that Mr. Sharif and everybody has matured so much, that there should be some sort of a political shift wherein these parties should decide to be honest to at least not amongst to each other, and to promise each other that they will not undermine each other by going to the army to intervene Instead, all politics should be fought in the parliament in the courts of law, and not out with the and not seeking favors with the army. That is one shift that has to take place, which Mr. Shehbaz Sharif had talked about again and again.
Now, New York Times, an article titled "Musharraf Foe Threatens Protests and Musharraf Foe as in the picture happens to be Nawaz Sharif." The article starts November 26. Former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, back from exile, denounced the military dictatorship of Pakistan's President General Pervez Musharraf today and said he would lead street protests if his demands for the general to lift emergency rule and reinstate the Supreme Court were not met. But Farzana Fayaz, what's the mood in Lahore? From the pictures that we receive via different news outlets, the people are happy that he is standing against Musharraf, especially in Lahore. When you ask him, they say, well, there is no deal, as Nawaz himself had to say, that there is no pact, no deal whatsoever between me and Musharraf. The deal is between me and the Pakistani people.
Well, the general mood over the last few weeks and months, the protests have generally come from the lawyers, as you know, and also the journalists and also the human rights activists. General civil society is not really taken to the streets in great numbers, as perhaps we might expect. I think that it's unlikely to happen, given that the, it seems to me, at least, to the general Pakistani population is generally feels disenfranchised or apathetic politically. However, there is a great deal of interest that's been initiated over these recent protests by the human rights activists, the lawyers, and the journalists. So if you're asking what the mood is and how it's likely to change, I mean, I've been out on the streets in Lahore this last week. Life seems to be carrying on as normal. There are, you know, more armed forces on the streets than there are normally, and those protests that did start to happen a couple of weeks ago with the lawyers and journalists have generally been stamped out, of course, you know, by a number of house arrests and arrests and so on, and gradually those people have been released. So I don't know, I think the government is keeping a very careful eye on development, and certainly people are thinking twice before going out onto the streets to protest.
Well, supporters of Nawaz Sharif, Farzana, do not, of course, want any kind of a pact or deal between their leader and Pervez Musharraf. But how about a deal between Nawaz Sharif and Benazir Bhutto? Is that welcome?
Well, if that were to happen between Nawaz Sharif and Benazir Bhutto, that would certainly destabilize Musharraf's position. They would, between them, they could certainly gain the majority in Punjab, which I said earlier is crucial in these elections. As I said, if whoever wins Punjab wins the elections, they may well be considering a deal. I mean, as we've seen, all sorts of deals and negotiations or understandings have been that have previously been completely out of the question have taken place. So, I mean, who's to say that a conversation of some sort or some kind of understanding between Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif should not happen also?
Now back to the article, back to New York Times, it says he said opposition parties were still weighing whether to boycott the elections, which are scheduled for January the 8th, and would decide whether to do so at a general meeting on November 29th, which the meeting happens to be on Nawaz Sharif's farm in Lahore, and Benazir Bhutto is supposed to also take part. Wajid Shamsul Hassan, let's take a look at the facts on the ground. It's really complicated. It's not as simple as it sounds in this program tonight. Well, January the 8th, a date set by Pervez Musharraf for elections, parliamentary elections, and of course the prime minister would be elected as well. On the other hand, we have both from opposition parties, both Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif. There are threats of boycott on both sides. We don't know which side might boycott, with analysts saying it's better for Nawaz Sharif to boycott the elections. And the parties here, again, very complicated. Pakistan Muslim League, well, we have a splinter group of that going to Musharraf, but major chunk of that going to Nawaz Sharif. On the other hand, we have Nawaz Sharif, the leader of a huge number of splinter groups called All Pakistan Democratic Movement, the number of opposition centrists and right conservative wings of the parties in Pakistan. On the other hand, Benazir Bhutto. So what do you make of this very complicated situation with President Musharraf actually being sworn in this coming Thursday as a civilian president shedding his military clothes?
Well, that is what General Musharraf has arranged the political arrangement in Pakistan by having himself sworn in as president under the legal order of the Supreme Court. That's besides the point. But the fact of the matter is that both Mian Nawaz Sharif and Muhtarma Benazir Bhutto have got to get together, if possible, on one point agenda. I think they have shared a lot of things between themselves for the restoration of democracy, and they have already signed a charter of democracy, which is a very good document to follow, even in these conditions. And I'm sure once they get together, once they have a strike, a common streak, and surely they will come to terms and they will have a joint strategy to meet the situation that has arisen out of the state of emergency. They have both repeated that they don't want elections to be held under a state of emergency, which is more or less martial law in the country. So they are also sticking to having an independent election commission and free and fair elections under an interim government. They have not conceded any of these demands. Both of them are sticking to these demands, and I'm sure these demands could bring them together. And as far as APDM is concerned, yes, Mr. Nawaz Sharif has summoned it for 29th of November. I'm sure there will be a lot of politics there. There will be talk there.
But Nawaz Sharif sounds a lot more firm in his opposition than Benazir Bhutto, that according to all the press and media, speaks out of both sides of her mouth, is simply very cautious with Pervez Musharraf, even when it comes to the rebuke. She never condemned the situation on the ground. Well, she's been very cautious, if you will, with the situation, the emergency situation on the ground.
She has not been cautious. She has she was the first person to describe it as martial law, and she condemned it, and she said she was not going to accept it, and she's not going to accept Musharraf as president. That is what she said. But the fact of the matter is now Musharraf has been legalized by his puppet court. Either we challenge that and come out in the streets, all of the political parties should join hands to not to accept that sort of decision, or to accept him as a de facto president until such time when we are in a position to elect a de jure president. He's a de facto president, so elections are being held under him. And I'm sure if we all political parties agree to participate, then we will have to participate under elections held by General Musharraf. But we have to see the conditions and wonder what conditions those elections will be held. Will it be worthwhile to participate in them or not? That is to be decided, and I think there's time is coming when people, political parties will decide among themselves and take a line which will be good for the country and for democracy's return.
Now, let's go back to an earlier issue in the program, Saudi Arabia. Wall Street Journal, an article, Sharif's return increases Pakistan's political options. But further down it says, some interpret Mr. Sharif's return as an effort by Saudi Arabia to counterbalance the prominence of Benazir Bhutto, a secular and pro-Western political leader and also a former prime minister, with a politician more closely associated with Islam. Others think Mr. Sharif could play an important role in unifying the opposition against General Musharraf, who declared a state of emergency November 3rd. Despite the emergency, General Musharraf has said he will proceed with national elections on January the 8th that will install new members of parliament and a new prime minister, post for which Mr. Sharif is expected to run. And Masoud Haidar, Saudi Arabia here, and speaking of secular Islam.
Can I?
Sure.
Yeah. I'd like to make 2 points. One to your thing about Saudi Arabia. As far as Saudi Arabia influence is concerned, it's very clear that one of the reasons when Mr. Musharraf ousted Mr. Sharif was about to introduce Sharia into the country, which was asked for, or some people said demanded by Saudi Arabia, and that Mr. Sharif was about to introduce, and he has introduced an amendment in the parliament with the majority that he had. From back door, he was not going to go to the electorate to ask for the permission to introduce Sharia. So that is one thing that the Saudi Arabian government wanted, a Sharia law in Pakistan as against the rule of law which exists as of now. That's one thing. And that is one thing that the Saudis wanted, their influence, because of the Sharia law, and they would feel that they would have that influence. The other point that I wanted to make, in addition, was that one of the reasons why the political parties are really scared, or like Benazir Bhutto's or Mr. Nawaz Sharif, to say that they're going to boycott the election is that I believe that this is exactly what the ruling party wants. Once Benazir Bhutto and Nawaz Sharif do decide to boycott the election, the powerful forces will be out, and the field will be left open to PMLQ, as it were, and that will leave the whole field open. So these people cannot risk leaving this field open for the Pakistan Muslim League Q group headed by the president. So I think it's a very tricky exercise at this point in time for these parties to consider boycotting this election. I would think that if they were a little bit wiser, they would continue to cooperate amongst each other and form some sort of a joint political front to ultimately oust the dictator if they have to, and then forge ahead. Without that, I don't think they'll be able to make it, because Mr. Musharraf is, and his party, Pakistan Muslim Q, are waiting for that gap to form, and that they will move in.
We've just been joined from New York by Sami Ibrahim, New York correspondent for Pakistani TV, the GOTV. Sami, welcome to the show. Our apologies for some technical problems we faced. And we'd like to have your take, given that we're approaching the dying minutes of the show. Some speculations of the complicated situation on the ground in Pakistan, the dynamics, who's going to make a deal with who, and, well, the end game of all of this.
Well, the situation is very tricky at the moment, but this week is very important because it is being expected that President Musharraf will take off the uniform. And once he's out of the military uniform, then probably it will not be easy for him to control the situation the way he's controlling now. And that's why perhaps the political parties are waiting, and all the political parties have announced to hold a meeting on the 29th of this month to decide whether they will participate in the elections. Because right now the political parties are fearing, the Election Commission has shown sides with the government, and political parties don't have confidence. And the same way in the Supreme Court, if there are any complaints in the elections, the political parties, they cannot go to the Supreme Court, because Supreme Court is now filled with the handpicked people of President Musharraf. So this week is very tricky, and I do agree that political parties should not leave this field vacant, but there is no purpose of going into the elections if it is not ensured that elections will be free, fair, and they will be meaningful.
Farzana Fayaz, let's take a look at the Islam factor in here. What Nawaz Sharif right now representing the so-called Islamists in Pakistan, because who shall they vote for? No other candidate. Now we have Benazir Bhutto down as a secular. Also, Musharraf himself down as a secular and anti-Musharraf sentiments in the country because of his close alliance with the United States during the past years in the country. Nawaz Sharif, on the other hand, has distanced himself from the West, from the United States, so a big chunk of the Pakistani population would perhaps go his way. Let's take a look at this, both Islam factor and the U.S. factor in all of this.
Well, balancing these two factors is proved very difficult for President Musharraf during his presidency. He's seen very clearly that it's very difficult to keep the Americans happy, who are very keen on a very secular-based government, and keep the traditional Islamists in Pakistan happy at the same time, as can be seen if you look back to July and the Red Mosque fiasco that occurred. Nawaz Sharif, certainly in the 90s, tried to declare himself as the commander of the faithful, so, you know, in many respects, as one of your previous guests mentioned, along with the alliance with the Saudis and the introduction of the Sharia law, he could be taking this opportunity to declare himself more along the Islamist side. But whatever he does, I think he has to be very, very careful, given the interest that the United States has in Pakistani affairs these days, and balancing that act and facing the same challenges that Musharraf has faced over his presidency.
Now, speaking of the United States, we don't hear a lot these days about foreign influence in all of this. The situation very tricky. Wajid Shams al-Hassan, now we have an article from USA Today saying Pakistan dismisses U.S. call to end emergency. Of course, John Negroponte, the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, finally out of Pakistan after days of camping out there with, of course, no apparent results, if you will. And Pakistan said U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte brought no new proposals on a make-or-break visit and received no assurances after urging Musharraf to restore the Constitution and free thousands of political opponents. This is nothing new, Foreign Ministry spokesman Mohammad Sadiq told the Associated Press. The U.S. has been saying this for many days. He, Negroponte, in parenthesis, has said that same thing. He has reiterated it. Shams al-Hassan, your take on U.S. role in all of this?
Well, U.S. role has been quite positive in the sense that they have been supporting cause of democracy in Pakistan, and they have been quite equivocal. Although they have not achieved much out of General Musharraf, Negroponte asked him to lift in a state of emergency. He didn't. He asked him to release some of the prisoners. He asked him to release the prisoners. He released some of the prisoners. There was, of course, no mention of restoring the Supreme Court under the former Chief Justice, so he has not done it. So the overall situation is such that Americans have definitely supported democracy, cause of democracy, and restoration of rule of law, and the restoration of 1973 Constitution, but they have not succeeded because Musharraf is carrying on his own agenda. The fact of the matter is, on the other hand, while Americans definitely appear to be supporting democracy on various fronts, and we have seen how Commonwealth has come out suspending Pakistan's membership, European Union has condemned the martial law, but the fact is, the new turn of situation is rather very intriguing, because Saudis have on record never come on record to have supported democracy in Pakistan. They support Wahhabization of the country. And that is what General Zia's mission was, to introduce Wahhabi Islam in Pakistan and to convert it into a Wahhabi garrison state. Perhaps, I don't know, because it's a very big question and it's an open question, what is going to happen now, we don't know. Because as somebody said in the discussion, that yes, there's going to be a killer line or difference between secular forces and the Islamist forces. And we know who the Islamist forces are being represented by, not Americans. Americans are opposed to those forces, and Pakistan People's Party is secular. It believes in Mr. Jinnah's Pakistan, in which he said religion will have nothing to do with the affairs of the state, and in which every citizen, whether he's Shia, Sunni, or Christian, or Hindu, or Muslim, he will have equal rights. So we want that sort of Pakistan, whereas the Islamists want a different Pakistan. They have imposed an ideology on it which did not exist at the time of the struggle for Pakistan. And I think that that sort of struggle would come out in the open during the elections if the political parties that would be in the elections decide to support some of those people who had opposed Mr. Jinnah's Pakistan and who are in line with those ideologies which are contrary to Mr. Jinnah's vision of Pakistan. Then I think it will be a very interesting fight, and it will be a battle for do or die for Pakistan's survival as an ideologically liberal and secular state.
Sunny Ibrahim, John Negroponte, the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State, has been in Pakistan for quite some time. The day before Musharraf announced his state of emergency, we had U.S. CENTCOM chief in Pakistan on a Friday before the Saturday of emergency rule. We had Gordon Brown on the phone with him the day before. We had Condoleezza Rice on the phone with him a couple of days before. So they all knew about it. They've been watching it closely. According to USA Today, which says that Musharraf has appeared intent on setting his own pace despite warnings from Washington, which has been hesitant to match criticism with actions such as cutting military aid. How serious do you find the United States in its criticism of Pakistan and Pervez Musharraf, given the fact that so many analysts say Musharraf no matter what's happened to him, no matter the anti-Musharraf sentiments due to his support for the United States, ironically, happens to be Washington's best pick, and all this criticism is only on the surface.
Well, U.S. support is very crucial and important for President Musharraf. And there was a general feeling in Washington, D.C., for the last couple of months that perhaps on certain actions taken by President Musharraf, for instance, deportation of Nawaz Sharif, the message which came out from Washington, D.C. was very soft at that time. And when once he imposed emergency and he came out with all these new laws, Washington did put pressure on him, but at that time it was too late because perhaps President Musharraf and his cronies, they believed that Americans will not have any choice since war on terror is on, and perhaps they will be bound to support President Musharraf. But again, this is a very defining moment for the United States to win hearts and minds of the people of Pakistan. U.S. administration, in the beginning, they came out with strong statements, but later on, the statement coming out of President Bush that President Musharraf has not crossed any line, whereas and practically there were thousands of lawyers and journalists and political activists were behind the bar, was perhaps not taken in a good taste in Pakistan. So U.S. pressure is very important, and it is it is very, if U.S. Wants to win the hearts and minds of the people, if they put a real pressure on President Musharraf for the revival of the democracy to hold free and fair elections, it will be very effective, and it will be very liked
right.
by the people of Pakistan.
We have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Our thanks to our guests for their time and views. We're joined from London by Wajida Shamsul Hassan, former Pakistani High Commissioner in Britain. From New York by Isami Ibrahim, New York correspondent for Pakistani TV station GeoTV. From New York again by Masoud Haydari, distinguished UN correspondent for the Daily Dawn of Pakistan, the past president of the United Nations Correspondents Association. By the phone from Lahore, Pakistan, by Farzana Fayaz, a freelance British journalist based in Lahore, Pakistan. Our thanks to all of our guests, and of course, to our viewers for staying with us. Always watch out for the fine print. With me, I'm here.